Blog Talk Radio.
My name's Don Marquis, El Presidente. Time to kick things off today on another Saturday morning. Over the next hour, I'll be glad when we get back to 2 hours when NFL gets back at full force, and we've got some other things going on at full force. But hey, we got a great hour in store for you today. Steve Wilson of Speedway Digest, editor-in-chief of SpeedwayDigest.com, our official NASCAR contributor, joins us and talks with us a little bit about the truck race from last night and what's going on in Atlanta this weekend. And as we get ready for the chase, if you will, the second half of the season with NASCAR. Also, Tony Donahue from the Tony D Podcast is going to be joining us. We'll be talking about the NBA Finals. Well, as we titled the show, The Sun Sets in the West. So the Suns are certainly on fire right now. We'll get into some conversation with him, as well as what's going on with IndyCar as they get ready to roll into Nashville here in just a few short weeks. 917-889-8516 is our digits, and we'll be right back right here on the Balance Radio Network.
The Air National Guard is a reserve component of the United States Air Force and serves alongside active-duty Air Force members in times of a national crisis. In addition, the Air Guard serves the state and local community in a wide range of capacities. The reason people join the Air Guard is as diverse as our members and includes such reasons as a deep desire to serve their country, money for college, travel, new job skills, and the pride that goes along with belonging to the greatest military organization in the world. I joined because I felt a calling to serve my country, but I didn't want to be far away from my family, so the Indiana Air National Guard was a perfect fit for me. With over 95 different career opportunities to choose from and 100% paid college tuition to any state-funded college, why not give us a call? Call 1-800-841-3103 or visit online at goang.com to find out more. Again, that's 1-800-841-3103. The Air National Guard, guarding America, defending freedom.
I can't believe it.
I've been playing 4-on-4 with a barbershop quartet.
Pass the ball, pass the rod. We're open, just pass the ball.
Nah, I can't believe how easy it was to save hundreds of dollars on my car insurance with Geico.
Yeah.
Believe it, Geico could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
Morning face. You get it when you don't sleep well. This is what happened to Linda.
Morning, guys.
Good morning. Ah, what is that thing?
It's me, Linda.
Oh, my God, it talks. Run!
No, it's me, Linda, from HR.
It looks hungry. Save the children. Save them. Stay back. I've got mace.
Ow, they're winning my eyes.
We're moving.
It's called beauty sleep for a reason. And there's never been a better time to get some.
Get 20% off IKEA Sultan mattresses. IKEA, love your home.
Oh, hi.
Hey.
I've seen on the board, do you guys have Black Rifle coffee here?
No, I'm sorry. We only carry good small batch coffee here.
Well, it is great small batch coffee.
Well, that really can't be unless it's fresh roasted, so I don't, you know.
Well, it is fresh roasted.
I don't think you know what that means. You know what this is? This is Masa Lekwa Pike, which of course in the Indonesian language, let me finish. In the Indonesian language, it's weasel coffee.
You just made that up.
No, it's been passed through their digestive tract.
That's disgusting.
And then it's nature's wet processing.
Yeah, but is it good?
I mean, it's all right. Are they investor philanthropists? Do they support good causes?
Yeah, tons of causes. Veterans causes and first responder causes. But it doesn't matter because they make good coffee. So that's what I'm wanting.
Do you have any?
You know what? Actually, I'm just going to order it. They make it fresh and roasted.
Okay. Right.
Black Rifle Coffee.
It's good.
All right, and welcome back to The Balance. My name is Tom Marcos, El Presidente. Time to kick things off. Joining us now is Steve Wilson, Speedway Digest, editor-in-chief of SpeedwayDigest.com and our official NASCAR contributor. Steve, how are you, sir?
Doing good. How about yourself?
Fantastic. What's they say? I could complain, but it wouldn't do me any good. Well, what a great race we had last night in the NASCAR Camping World Truck Series at Knoxville. Certainly a drama-filled inaugural NASCAR race there at Knoxville. At the end of a remarkable race, an equally remarkable racetrack, Austin Hill took home the trophy. Obviously, Austin is no stranger to victory lane there in the truck series, but certainly won the I think what I think we like a lot about this race is that it was in the dirt. I don't think that we get to see dirt racing as much as we should. I'm excited to see that they're adding some of these to the tracks. It'd be nice if we could see it happen in the main NASCAR series. So I think we saw something at not too long ago with the Xfinity series. But Steve, talk with us about the inaugural race out in Knoxville last night.
Yeah, I mean, last night at Knoxville, I think the ending of the race kind of changed a lot of, or maybe changed some people's opinions or the way they look at some of these dirt series races that were running. There was a lot of frustration on from the side of the drivers. There was a lot of frustration post race from fans on social media about the way the race ended, and maybe there's some procedures that need to be looked at as far as if we continue to have some of these wrecks like we did four back to back going into turn one that. Trying to finish the race out, and I know a lot of people said that with the amount of trucks that were on the track, and kind of didn't understand why NASCAR didn't go to a single file restart like they did at Bristol, being a short track where they covered up with dirt about 2 months ago or so, and that way maybe alleviate some of that that we saw last night. Now, in fairness, we didn't see those similar type of incidences throughout the race, but in the closing laps there, we had some of the big ones that we would normally see at places like Talladega or Daytona. At one point we had something like 12, 14 trucks tied up into one incident there going into turn one, which caused about 15-16 minute red flag, so they could clean the track up, and it just kept happening back to back. And I can see why maybe they should have gone to a single file restart to, try and alleviate some of that and get the race over with. And, hopefully going forward, if NASCAR is going to continue to go into some of these racetracks, like these dirt tracks, and no matter what dirt track it is, maybe they have some of these alternating officiating where, if they are seeing these kind of issues crop up like that, they move to a single file restart or whatever, whatever is the most, the best way to try and get the race finished out without seeing, some of the frustration that we saw. And, I think Sheldon Creed said that they don't even belong there. Zane Smith, after the race, made a comment on social media that says, you know, this is kind of why, you know, dirt fans and dirt racers and drivers, you know, laugh at us. And, you know, there's a lot of frustration all around from various different drivers. And while at the end of the night, Austin Hill was victorious and, you know, well locked into the championship chase playoffs later on this year. It's just, you know, I think some of that kind of gets overshadowed by the fact of, you know, just how the race ended last night. And, you know, going forward, hopefully NASCAR takes a look at this and maybe they'll change some of those officiating or change some of the ways that they try and finish these races out, or, you know, even if this were to happen in the middle of the race, maybe take away the double file restarts and move to a single file restart to make sure that the race continues to go off pretty smoothly.
Well, yeah, you know, absolutely. You would think, common sense doesn't always come into play, but you would think on dirt track especially, they want to do the single file restarts. I mean, we had a 17 truck crash ignited in turn one seconds after the field took the green flag for the first overtime in lap 154. And you talk about some frustrations. Let's talk about, you know, the 10-time World Outlaws champion Donnie Schultz, who really thought he had a top 10 finish. You know, and he said, I had nowhere to go. I was just along for the ride. And I think you talk about the frustrations of the driver, and you listen to Schatz talk. Instead of getting a top 10 finish, he finished 32nd because of the way that they decided to do a restart. And in overtime on dirt, I think that there needs to be some life lessons learned here.
No, I think that the takeaway here is that, you know, when we raced at Eldora, the track was much wider than it is at Knoxville. And, you know, there's a lot more room to move around and kind of maneuver, you know, through some of these incidences where you just don't have that at Knoxville. It's, you know, not as wide of a racetrack. And really, you know, when you look at Knoxville, it kind of races more like Martinsville, where the bottom groove is the preferred groove and really the only way that you're going to make any ground up. So, you know, seconds after, you know, or even inches after they get past the start-finish line, everybody's trying to duck down to the bottom like they do at Martinsville. And, you know, while Martinsville is a totally different animal, it kind of, you know, Knoxville almost kind of races like that, where everybody is, you know, all trying to clamor to get to the bottom there. And, you know, there's just no room out there to get in, to try and maneuver. And, we had several of these instances back-to-back-to-back, and everybody trying to do the same exact thing going into turn one, and, you know, there's just no room for them to be there.
Well, I tell you what, it is a crazy finish as it was. It did finish, and like we mentioned, Austin Hill won the inaugural race. Of course, Chandler Smith finished second. Grant Effinger finished third. Todd Dillahan finished fourth. Pole winner Derek Cross finished fifth. And certainly one of the things that we saw happen yesterday with one race to go before the playoffs, John Hunter Nemechek has clinched the regular season championship and the 15 playoff points that go with it. And so certainly that brings us over to the conversation of standings before we talk about what's going on in Atlanta this week. John Nemechek, Ben Rhodes, Todd Dillahan, Austin Hill, Sheldon Creed, Zane Smith, Matt Crafton, and Carson Arcaver, sorry about that, Chandler Smith, and Stuart Friesen round out the top 10 in the 2021 NASCAR Camping World Truck Series standings.
Yeah, I mean, this year has really just been about John Hunter Nemechek. You know, he's got, five wins underneath of him already, you know, this part of the year. And, you know, he's beat out, you know, his boss a couple different times, you know, in just racing for them. And when Nemechek came over and, you know, left the Cup Series last year to come here, he said, you know, he was just looking for a change in direction where he would have an opportunity to win. And I think, well, that's all he's really done. He's won, you know, five of these events already this year, you know, leading the race wins for all of these drivers. And, you know, that brings us back over into, you know, off the hill. While Sight has been pretty consistent as we go through the year, and last night was his first win, logging himself. You know, he was already pretty well walked into this thing as it was. It was just, you know, that win just kind of solidified that, you know, being locked in. And, you know, somebody else who's been pretty impressive this year is Todd Yeland. He's he won at COTA a couple of weeks back to lock himself in, but you know, that team has been fairly consistent as well, and I think there's been a lot of improvements. Todd Yeland has left Kyle Busch Motorsports and came over, and, you know, that truck is fielded by both his dad and Front Row Motorsports, which, you know, his dad drove for quite a number of years, and, you know, it's been for them. I mean, last night you even saw Todd Yeland leading laps out there and contending for the lead before, you know, some of these incidences and some of the, other things that kind of changed the course of the race throughout the night. But, you know, overall, I think right now we have a lot of different drivers up there that, you know, will make a good battle towards the end. But really, I think this is going to come down to, you know, John Hunter Nemechek and just him continuing to do what he does. And, you know, as long as nothing changes, I think he's probably the perennial favorite in all of this to win it at the end of the year.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, let's see what's going on in Atlanta. Hot Atlanta, if you will, very fast track. Can Kyle Busch go for a perfect 5-for-5 season in the NASCAR Xfinity season? The two-time Cup Series champion makes his fifth and final Xfinity start of the year today in Atlanta. Of course, that's 3:30 on the NBC Sports Network. Certainly, Busch claimed a win last Saturday at Road America. He's also won the season at Circuits of America's Texas Motor Speedway, Nashville Super Speedway, his 100th, which, by the way, was his 100th series victory. Meanwhile, we also look at Justin Allgaier, who will go for the season sweep at Atlanta back in March. A pit road speeding penalty for Cup regular Martin Truex Jr. opened the door for Allgaier to earn his first win of the season. His victory has somewhat been overshadowed, however, by the post-race confrontation on pit road between Daniel Hemric and Noah Gregson. So we look at the Xfinity race in Atlanta. Kyle Busch is certainly a force to contend with. And anytime we talk about Kyle or Kurt Busch, for that matter, we're pretty much talking about a serious in-it-to-win-it type scenario.
Yeah, you know, this is something that Kyle Busch has said an off-the-cuff comment in 2018 or something like that, that once he had 100 wins that he would walk away. But, you know, he never knew when he was going to hit 100 wins. And, you know, as JGR and everybody had said, you know, they sold these races with the promise that Kyle Busch is going to be in these cars. And, you know, he's clicked off that 101st win. And, you know, going into Atlanta today, he'll again be a favorite out there. You know, Atlanta is a very fast track, but it's also a track with a very, very old surface. So tire management is definitely going to be something that you're going to have to watch both today and tomorrow. And, you know, especially now that it's in the middle of summer and the daylight, and, you know, that's really going to, you know, cause some of these tires to be chewed up pretty quickly, and tire management will be, you know, what we're looking for. But, you know, you listen to Kyle Busch, and I think we just, you know, what more is there to say about him at this point?
Yeah, I mean, what more can we say? Kyle Busch, insert win here. At some point, when you get to your 100th series win, a win is just another win. Let's talk about the standings in the NASCAR Xfinity Series before we get over to the Cup Series for this weekend. Austin Cindric, A.J. Allmendinger, Justin Allgaier, Daniel Hemric, Jeb Burton, Harrison Burton, Justin Haley, Matt Snyder, Brandon Jones, Noah Gregson, which is obviously the protege of Dale Jr., Michael Annette, and Jeremy Clements round out the top 11 who we expect to be in the chase. Certainly those are the ones above the line, if you would say.
Yeah, I've been pretty impressed this year. AJ Allmendinger has been out of the car for for quite some time, and he's only ran a couple off races here and there, but here he is back in his first full time season in a car in Xfinity Series in particular. But he's won twice this year already, second in the standings. That they've stepped up and really come up this year, and I think that also just shows not only with him but also shows with Justin Haley, who's not too far behind him, what, 7th, 8th, something like that, where. That team also has, been very consistent all year long, putting good equipment in finishing races throughout the year. And for a team like College Racing that has, continuously built and built and built a little at a time, that, here they are in putting recognizing the talent of A.J. Allmendinger, and putting him back in a car for a full-time ride is, definitely in contention this year, along with Justin Haley. And, Haley's also going to, be a part of, something larger and bigger when they also move to Cup. So, this is something that, that College Racing has, always continued to build upon. And I think they're seeing the fruits of their labor at this point. Well, you look at Austin Chendrick, what is it, 4 wins, 3 full wins already this year for him, and it's just really, he's really stepped up. And, he was kind of the guy that everybody knew that this year was going to be his last year in Xfinity Series, and he was going to take over in the number 21 car with Brothers Racing, which is a satellite team for Penske Motorsports, but then we kind of get the bombshell that Brad Keselowski is going to lead the number 2 machine over there. So that kind of opens up a direct pipeline, per se, back into Penske. And, Austin Centers with his dad being a part of the executives in that company is, I think that may be the path that they take. And, I don't know anything in particular, but, that seems like a better path at, that would put, him directly in a Penske ride, and maybe keep that number 21 Wood Brothers machine over there, open in a sense that, Matt DiBenedetto can come back and continue racing for them. So, he's done well this year. He's shown that he's made improvements this year, and I think the 4 wins is definitely something people are looking at and saying, well, he's winning and he's doing the things he needs to do, and that's why he deserves a ride in the Cup Series.
Let's get on over to the Cup Series in Atlanta. Obviously, very fast track. And, I am still kind of shocked that we're still having a conversation of why they haven't redone and why they haven't repaved Atlanta. Atlanta is a money maker for the series. It looks like, and then maybe they could do some co-op money. I know it's not the cheapest maneuver to do, but you would think a track like Atlanta, because you know we're going to have issues with tires. You know that's just going to be the number one thing, and that's certainly going to have to be the thing that the pit crews and the crew chiefs take into account. My curious question before we get into the conversation here: why haven't they repaved and resurfaced Atlanta, much like they did Michigan and other big fast motor race tracks over the last few years?
Well, I think, with Atlanta, it's been something that the drivers have continued to ask and say, hey, we really like the asphalt here, even though it's worn out, even though it's really gritty and tears tires down, and, you can flip the slot around. It's been a track that drivers have really enjoyed to drive on. And SMI has gone out there and sealed the track and done those things to preserve the pavement as much as possible that you can, with all due respect of nature and cars wearing it down. But, that's something that's about to change, come Monday, that track is going to be torn up, and then they're going to repave it as well as to add some banking and turns. But, they've been really resistant as to doing this up until this time, and I think you can thank a lot of these drivers who've come out publicly and said, to not repave the track. But, at some point, all good things have to come to an end. And, unfortunately, pavement doesn't last forever. And, if you're going to continue to put these cars on there, not just one time a year, but twice a year into the future, then you're going to have to make some changes out there. Definitely that starts with the repave out there. Now, you know, when it comes to changing the banking out there, I think they're going to add about 4 degrees of banking out in the turns, but they're also going to cut about 13 to 15 feet off the track in the process of doing so. So that's almost a full groove taken out of the track. And, you know, some drivers like Denny Hamlin aren't very happy about this. He said on social media that he's not very happy about this and how the fact that they don't get it, nobody ever asked the input of drivers, which, you know, I think I have to disagree, you know, at least on that fact where, you know, it's, you know, Atlanta has, you know, resisted those changes because drivers like Denny Hamlin or Dale Jr. or others have said don't repave it. And, you know, they've been pretty resistant and listened to the drivers in that fact. But, you know, I don't know how, you know, the racing is going to be improved or by putting those extra 3 or 4 degrees of banking into it and taking a groove out of it. You know, I think that'll remain to be seen. But, you know, either way, SMI is going to do this. They're going to start it on Monday.
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, as we look into tomorrow's race, Ryan Blaney earned his spot in the NASCAR Cup Series playoffs with his win in March in the Atlanta Motor Speedway. So we got a lot going on with Team Penske lacking a raw speed compared to Hendrick Motorsports and Joe Gibbs racing. We don't know what's going on there, but let's kind of take a look at why we still got a few minutes here of what's going on in the 2021 NASCAR Cup Series. Kyle Larson leading, and you know what a great comeback story that is. We don't have time to get into it, but certainly everybody that follows the sport knows the second chance that he's got, and it looks like he's taken very well advantage of that. Martin Truex Jr., Kyle Busch, Denny Hamilton, Chase Hamilton, William Byron, Alex Bowman, Joey Logano, Ryan Blaney, Brad Keselowski, Christopher Bell, Michael McDowell, Kevin Harvick, Kurt Busch, Tyler Reddick, and Austin Dillon, all above the line as we get ready to go into the playoffs and see who can win a championship for 2021. What are we looking at? How about this story with Kyle Larson?
Yeah, I think you're right. It's a huge comeback story, and you know, for Rick Hendrick to go out there and recognize the talent of Kyle Larson and car this year, it's you know, been a phenomenal, you know, second chance for him, and you know, I think he deserves it. I mean, he did all the things that everybody asked him to. He went well above and beyond, and you know, not without getting into the whole story, I think everybody deserves that second chance, and Kyle Larson has gotten that second chance and definitely taken advantage of it.
Steve Wilson of Speedway Digest, editor-in-chief of Speedway Digest, joins us today. Steve, what are you guys working on for this weekend, and how can people find your work and masterpieces, sir?
You can find us at Speedway Digest on Twitter, facebook.com/Speedway Digest, and speedwaydigest.com. I'll have all the stuff going on there at Atlanta and talking about the repave that will go on Monday. And, you know, we're getting ready to come up into a break here in a couple of weeks with the Olympics. So, you know, that'll kind of slow a couple of things down. But, you know, there we are.
Ready to go. All right, Steve, you have yourself a good weekend. We'll talk with you soon.
All right, thanks a lot. Take care.
Steve Wilson of Speedway Digest, our official NASCAR contributor, joins us to break down the action. Last night in Knoxville, certainly a lot of drama there at the race with that. The lack of, if you will, single file restarts, certainly nothing but mayhem. When you've got dirt, and certainly dirt that's when you're in the 154th lap, I mean, you just are going to expect that it's just going to be total calamity, and that's exactly what we saw last night there in Knoxville. We've got Atlanta, obviously. We talked about the pavement, the track issues that are going to be plaguing the Atlanta Motor Speedway with tires, so teams are going to have to take that into account. Certainly, we talked about Kyle Busch, you know, certainly being a dominant force for the Xfinity race as well. And, you know, talk about tomorrow's race in Atlanta with the Cup Series. Tony Donahue from the Tony D. Podcast joins us coming up. We're going to be talking about the NBA Finals, how that's shaping up with the Phoenix Suns and the Milwaukee Bucks. Also going to be touching in and checking in on IndyCar. We got some races coming up here in August in Nashville as well. My name is Tom Marquis, Del Presidente. Be right back right here on the Balance Radio Network.
I'd quick stop, midnight tea top, Jack in her cherry coke pen. Mama and daddy put their roots right here, cause this is where the car broke down. Yellow dog school bus, kicking up red bus, kicking us up by barbed wire fence. MTV on the RCA.
The Air National Guard is a reserve component of the United States Air Force and serves alongside active duty Air Force members in times of a national crisis. In addition, the Air Guard serves the state and local community in a wide range of capacities. The reason people join the Air Guard is as diverse as our members and includes such reasons as a deep desire to serve their country, money for college, travel, new job skills, and the pride that goes along with belonging to the greatest military organization in the world. I joined because I felt a calling to serve my country, but I didn't want to be far away from my family, so the Indiana Air National Guard was a perfect fit for me. With over 95 different career opportunities to choose from and 100% paid college tuition to any state-funded college, why not give us a call? Call 1-800-841-3103 or visit online at goang.com to find out more. Again, that's 1-800-841-3103. The Air National Guard, guarding America, defending freedom.
When you don't go to geico.com, car insurance can be confusing. Like Swedish techno confusing.
Bark, bark, meow, meow. Dance with me, purple cow. Bark, bark, meow, meow. Ooh, you lovely cow.
Geico makes it easy. With 24/7 access, all you have to do is go to geico.com and you could save money on car insurance. It just makes sense. Unlike, you know.
Dance with me, purple cow. I like your move.
When you don't go to geico.com, car insurance can be hard. Like early 90s heavy metal hard.
I'm yelling and screaming and I'm loud. Roar.
Geico makes it easy. You can review and update your policy or report a claim on Geico.com or the Geico mobile app. Because shouldn't we all have a little less stress in our lives?
I'm not even upset about anything.
Morning face. You get is when you don't sleep well. This is what happened to Linda.
Morning, guys.
Good morning. Ah, what is that thing?
It's me, Linda.
Oh, my God, it talks. Run!
No, it's me, Linda, from HR.
It looks hungry. Save the children. Save them. Stay back. I've got mace.
Ow, they're in my eyes.
We're moving.
It's called beauty sleep for a reason. And there's never been a better time to get some.
Get 20% off IKEA Sultan mattresses. IKEA, love your home.
Oh, hi.
Hey.
Seen on the board, do you guys have Black Rifle coffee here?
No, I'm sorry. We only carry good small batch coffee here.
Well, it is great small batch coffee.
Well, that really can't be unless it's fresh roasted, so, you know.
Well, it is fresh roasted.
I don't think you know what that means. You know what this is? This is Masa Lekwa Pike, which, of course, in the Indonesian language... Oh, let me finish. In the Indonesian language, it's weasel coffee.
You just made that up.
No, it's been passed through their digestive tract.
That's disgusting.
And then it's nature's wet processing.
Yeah, but is it good?
I mean, it's all right. Are they investor philanthropists? Do they support good causes?
Yeah, tons of causes. Veterans causes and first responder causes, but it doesn't matter because they make good coffee. So that's what I'm wanting.
Do you have any?
You know what? Actually, I'm just going to order it. They make it fresh and roasted.
Okay. Right.
Black Rifle Coffee.
It's good.
Right now, I just need you to get real loose. Get comfortable. Grab your loved ones, or grab your love partner. And if you're by yourself, no worries. Just follow after me.
Yeah. Gonna do the two-step, then cowboy boogie.
Grab your sweetheart and spin out with him. Do the hold down and get into it. Take it to the left now and dip with it. Gonna throw down, take a sip with it. Now lean back, put your head up, spin it.
All right. right, welcome back to The Balance. My name is Tom Mark LaSalle, Presidente. 917-889-8516 is our digits. Thank you to Steve Wilson from Speedway Digest, Editor-in-Chief of SpeedwayDigest.com, and our official NASCAR contributor, talking with us a little bit what was going on in Knoxville last night. We had some drama at the end of that race. Hopefully they get all that sorted out. When you got a dirt race and you're in overtime, yeah, got to look at this single-file restart. If not, we're just going to have issues. Also talking about the Xfinity race happening this afternoon, Saturday. Certainly you can catch that on NBC Sports. I'll look for Kyle Busch to be a complete dominant in that race. But we also look for a lot of issues with that track this weekend in Atlanta with the way that the surfaces – well, any lack thereof, if you will. And I know a lot of people like the different types of tracks. And, you know, Steve broke down that, hey, when they do that resurfacing, they're going to actually probably end up having to take a piece of the groove off, which, you know, a lot of drivers like that groove. They like to find their groove, if you will. So we'll see how that plays out. Obviously, we look at Kyle Larson certainly being first in the standings, and we look at this as we get into our playoff projections of what's going on. We're standing by for Tony Donahue from Tony D Podcast. Want to get into this conversation about the NBA Finals, and that certainly is the Phoenix Suns found a way to go 2-0 against the Milwaukee Bucks. So we'll get into that conversation. We're just kind of standing by for him. You know, the great thing about our show is it's the podcast. So if you're listening to our podcast, you're not listening to anything that's edited down or chopped down or trimmed or what have you. You actually are listening, Craig, for better or for worse. You're listening to the show just exactly how it plays out. If you are listening to us on a podcast, whether that's the Apple Podcast or you know, TuneIn or Stitcher or wherever you might be listening to us at, you can certainly hit like, and every time we drop a show, which will be typically within minutes of the show, it'll be available to you. Again, standing by for Tony Donahue, but let's get into some of this conversation about what's going on with the NBA finals, and what are we looking at, and certainly how, you know, less than 1 year after the Miami Heat bounced the Milwaukee Bucks from the 2020 postseason, the Bucks had a chance to avoid a second meeting in the 2021 playoffs, hosting Miami in the last weekend of the season. The Bucks could have rested their players and given the Heat a free pass to move up in the standings and likely drawn a matchup in either New York or Atlanta. But after the Bucks mulled over their options and countless conversations were shared, from the locker room to ownership and front office, what have you, blah, 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 blah. Who'd have gone through the bubble after going through the bubble experience? And, you know, going back to that, I digress a little bit, but how cool is it to be out of this bubble? How cool is it to be having the finals? It's certainly a different time frame. I think we're used to having it a little bit later in the year, or at least, but hey, you know, we'll take it as it is. But basically, the Bucks have made it to the NBA Finals. And so we'll see what happens. But they have been struggling against the Phoenix Suns. And, you know, like I said, it's happening a month later than what we're used to it, in July and not June. But the 2021 NBA Finals are finally here. And we have the schedule. We know what's going on. And so, you know, tomorrow, I should say, it gets back and the Suns are at the Bucks, and the Suns have a 2-0 lead over the Bucks. And, you know, Chris Brown and I'm sure I said that name wrong, but anyway, it's Saturday morning. Like I said, you get this show live for what it's worth. Basically the Milwaukee Bucks have reached it without Giannis for the final couple of games. And now the Bucks are in the franchise's first finals since 1974. Milwaukee's only title came in 1970. The Phoenix Suns had missed the playoffs 10 straight years. had missed the playoffs 10 straight years and fought through some health issues of their Chris Paul missing the first two games of the Western Conference Finals to reach the Suns Finals. Since Charles Barkley wore their uniform. That gives you an idea of how long it's been since there's been a showing of the Phoenix Sun. We talk about Chris Paul. Chris Paul has been on multiple teams. And, you know, I think he's a magnificent leader. Certainly, fills that point guard position very, very well. And that's where we've seen the emergence of what we call our new superstars. Not necessarily the big mans like the Shaquilles. Those are still very valid people to look at on the team. But our superstars, the people who are leading these teams to championships, are your Chris Pauls. So, I mean, he's a leader. Certainly, you know, in that type of scenario, sometimes you have different types of personalities that don't always mesh. But, you know, that aside, he is a great, great leader for the Phoenix Sun. The Sun started the series as favorites to win it all, with the Bucks basically being the underdog. But that may change, especially after tomorrow, if the Milwaukee Bucks can find a way to come back and win at home over the next 2 days with the next 2 days, the July 11th and 14th, so Monday and Tuesday. And that'll tie the series up going back to – I mean, that'll tie the series – yeah, I'll tie the series at two going back to Phoenix on July the 15th. So we'll see. Will this go seven games? At this point, I'd say it's highly unlikely. But we'll see what's going on. Again, we are efforting to try to get a hold of Tony Donahue. He may have gotten caught up with something else. You can join us here for the last remaining minutes of the show. 917-889-8516 is our digits, and we'll continue on our conversation about the Suns and the Milwaukee Bucks and what's going on with there. let's just digress a little bit, if you will, and just kind of go into some of just the news across the board this week and see what's going on in the sports as we are waiting to hear from Tony. But that's okay. We won't publicly shame him, I promise. So, you know, what's happening in some of the breaking news that we saw this week in the MLB, Hoyer amidst the harsh reality that the Cubs will sell at deadline. you know, everybody knows I'm not a huge Cubs fan. The Chicago Cubs snapped an 11-game losing streak with an 8-3 win over the Philadelphia Phillies on Wednesday. They lost again to the Phillies on Tuesday with Chicago season slipping away. President of Baseball Operations Jed Hoyer acknowledged the harsh reality that the Cubs will likely have to sell at the trade deadline, which is a shift from their previous stance of wanting to be buyers this month. Obviously not selling this team, but certainly selling what the stock that they have to get some good players within the trade, and they happen to give away players that they're looking at there. So we'll see how that plays out. Also, 95% of Bronco players have at least one vaccine shot. I mean, we've talked about this. I mean, it's unfortunate that we're still talking about people getting a vaccine. I heard some crazy stories. I mean, I get it. I know that the stories are out there, and I know what people are talking about. I heard a story this week where somebody actually got the virus from somebody who had been vaccinated. I don't know all the gist of that story, but so, yes, there is that possibility, but especially with the NFL. I mean, I don't know what the percentage of the players across the board that isn't vaccinated is, but, you know, 95% of the Bronco players have at least one vaccine shot. So we'll see what happens there. Cam Newton, 2016 shoulder injury affected him for years. He looking like he might have some issues this year. So, he's not going to be a Tom Brady. He's just not. And even though he's wearing the Patriots uniform now, The New England's Patriots quarterback Cam Newton says an inquiry to his throwing shoulder suffered in 2016 took years to heal and has changed the way he played football. Well, I get it. And certainly we had that issue with Peyton Manning as far as being able to play at your caliber. But was he ever at the caliber? And I'm not just saying this because he's wearing a Patriots uniform. Okay, I am, really. No, not really. Yeah, really. The former MVP posted a YouTube video on Friday that he filmed in September of 2021 in which he said he was just beginning to feel like his old self for the first time in years. Newton injured his throwing shoulder in December of 2016 while trying to make a tackle after threw an interception. Newton says he's healthy. The last time I've been healthy that I could document honestly was 2016 and 17, and that's just a fact. So we'll see how Cam Newton does in the Patriots uniform again this year. So going on with the NFL talk, Deshaun Watson is training with Jordan Love and Justin Fields. Interesting. The status of the Houston's quarterback, Deshaun Watson, is really up in the air. It is widely believed that he won't be permitted to play for any team this fall while facing 22 civil lawsuits, if you will, alleging acts of sexual assault and misconduct. Now, this doesn't mean the 25-year-old star signal caller can't mentor younger prospects. Per Mark Lane of the Texas Wire, Watson and personnel quarterback trainer Quincy Avery were recently spotted working with Fields, working out with Green Bay Packers quarterback Jordan Love and Chicago Bears rookie Justin Fields. So we'll see how that plays out. You know, some other news in the NBA talking about the Wolves. The Timberwolves, the Minnesota Timberwolves, are not willing to include D'Angelo Russell in a Ben Simmons trade talks. The Minnesota Timberwolves are reportedly interested in Ben Simmons, according to The Athletics. And the Timberwolves are likely to be in the mix for several players on the trading block, including the Philadelphia 76ers guard. However, Minnesota has no intention of making D'Angelo Russell a part of any trade package. The Timberwolves have reportedly viewed Russell as a crucial part of their core and want to keep it that way. So we'll see how that plays. Certainly we're coming into the trade world of what's going on in the off season for anybody that's not with the Phoenix Suns or the Milwaukee Bucks. Their off season is going on now. And so, you know, we'll see how that plays out. My name is Tom Marcos, El Presidente, 917-889-8516. You know, we're going to keep an eye on the Olympics. We'll talk a little bit about the Olympics. I know that's coming up. I know there's a lot of things that are going on with that. But we will kind of – I like the Olympics. I mean, who doesn't like the Olympics? You know, here's the thing, guys. Let's not make this a political thing. I mean, every country has its faults. But if you're going to represent the United States of America and you win a gold medal or a silver medal or a bronze medal, if you're on that podium, the United States flag, the respect that it deserves. I'll leave it at that. Let you guys pick it up from there. Going back over to the NFL, Bobby Wagner with the Seahawks, talking about the Seahawks issue with Bobby Wagner, Russell Wilson, drama overblown, and it's water under the bridge. Anybody with inside information wants outsiders to know there's no longer any drama involving the Seattle Seahawks quarterback Russell Wilson and those running the organization. The one-time Super Bowl champion quarterback may have found himself frustrated with the team's offense during the offseason, but declared last month that he and head coach Pete Carroll are still friends. And on Friday, six-time first-team All-Pro linebacker Bobby Wagner attempted to pour cold water over any rumors regarding Wilson's alleged unhappiness. Well, of course. We don't want to be talking about Russell Wilson leaving the Seattle Seahawks. NFL is just around the corner. I'm excited to talk about the NFL. Obviously, we're going to be having our annual NFL fantasy football team here on The Balance. We have that every year. So certainly it's free. Feel free to – we'll be getting that together over the next couple of weeks and get everything set up for that. But if you want to join, that we have limited amount of space, and certainly a returning players and owners – have a first rights to refusal. So we ask them first, are you going to play? So a lot of times we have very limited, if no space available in our fantasy football. So if you want to get in, you know, just shoot us a message on Twitter or Facebook, and we'll be glad to address that. Again, you know, thanks to Steve Wilson for joining us today. I'm not sure exactly what happened to Tony, but you know, it was about time to wrap it up and put a bowl on today. Thank you, Steve Wilson, for joining us and talking with us about the truck series out in Knoxville, that dirt track series. We haven't seen a dirt track truck race since Eldora, which was a Tony, or maybe still be a Tony Stewart track. Yeah, so good to see that happening. I'd like to see this happen more in, especially the Xfinity series. I know there's reasons for not wanting to do that, but, you know, it would certainly be entertaining to have something like that. I know here in Indianapolis we have the midget races on dirt out at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway on Brickyard Weekend, a lot going on there. So a lot of excitement. And I think dirt racing takes us back to our roots in racing, if you will. If you've been around racing, there's nothing better than going to a dirt track on the weekend and, you know, watching these guys who really, you know, they work full time during the week, and at night they work on their race cars, and they race on Saturday and travel on Sunday. So it's kind of an exhausting thing, but that's kind of where the roots are. Jeff Gordon, for example, came from the dirt series. Dale Sr. came from the dirt series. So certainly there is a lot of origin deep within the roots of racing with dirt racing. And of course, we're going to be out in Atlanta, the Xfinity race in the NASCAR Cup Series out in Atlanta this weekend. Of course, we talked a little bit about the struggles that the Atlanta racetrack has as far as the surfacing of it needs to be resurfaced. A lot of things to go into that, not with just cost, but engineering and planning with the race teams. So there's a lot that goes into it, but I think those conversations need to start happening, especially with a track as iconic and as fast as the Atlanta Motor Speedway. And certainly we look at with the NASCAR series, Kyle Larson coming back and getting his second shot. You know, yeah, certainly no need to harp on the past. Certainly, I think he realizes the mistakes that he made, and I think he's did the right things to earn that second chance, to earn that second opportunity, if you will. And so, you know, we were going to talk a little bit about IndyCar. But we probably are just going to have to put that on hold till next week. But one of the things I know we were wanting to talk about was the just some of the different rule changes, but also moving to a race coming up in Nashville coming up in August. We wanted to talk about that. So certainly IndyCar is still on our radar. Again, they're on kind of a hiatus for a couple of weeks right now anyway, but we wanted to just make sure that we talked about that. So IndyCar fans, we have not forgotten you at all in the least. Remember to make sure you go to us on Twitter, follow us on Twitter at TBalance, hit follow. If you're listening to the podcast, just go ahead and hit subscribe, like, and love, and so we know how cool you are. And of course, you already know how cool we are. We're pretty freaking awesome, you know. We've got our Black Rifle Coffee. We come to you every Saturday morning right here on the Balance Radio Network. Also, make sure that you follow us on Facebook. We post a lot of stuff on Facebook throughout the day, random stuff from random different sporting events. And certainly we post a lot of stuff from our team members and things that's going on there as well. So we're going to be keeping our eyes on the West, if you will, with the Phoenix Suns and Milwaukee Bucks tomorrow. Going to be at 8 o'clock out in Milwaukee. We're going to be seeing how that series begins to take shape. We got they're in Milwaukee on Sunday and Monday, and then travel again next week, and we'll see how that goes. Is there going to be a 7-game series? Is that going to be necessary? Our eyes are going to be on it, and certainly we'll be talking more in detail about it next weekend as well. My name is Tom Marquis, El Presidente. Remember, don't drink and drive. It isn't cool. And if you haven't gone to find us, which I can't imagine why you haven't done this, but if you haven't gone to any of our outlets and followed us, or you haven't went to Twitter and followed us, or you haven't downloaded any of our podcast, let's get it done, people. Get it done, people. Get it done. We'd love to hear from you. My name is Tom Marquis, El Presidente. I'm out of here. Don't drink and drive. Deuces.
Join us next week for The Balance. In the meantime, check us out on Twitter, T-Balance, or Facebook, The Balance, or online at www.thebalanceonline.com.